This is Gulf Coast Live from WGCU News. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Later this hour, we'll listen back to our conversation featuring live music with Southwest Florida rock and blues musician Kate Scales. Her debut EP, Ready For Me, dropped this spring, and while she's currently traveling and performing outside of Florida, she'll be back performing at venues here in the Fort Myers, Cape Coral area next month. But first, Southwest Florida's performing arts scene is gaining a new community theater company. New Phoenix Theater in South Fort Myers is currently renovating a former gym into a venue that can accommodate up to 100 audience members or up to 300 patrons for standing room only shows. In April, the organization announced an ambitious lineup of plays for the inaugural 2018-2019 season, including performances of Marvin's Room, The Cage of Fall, and Rumors, among others. The new theater company's founders include local actors and directors who came together to inject something fresh into the local theater scene with an emphasis on diversity, inclusion, and more roles for women. Joining me now in studio for a closer look at the mission of New Phoenix Theater and for a preview of what to expect in its upcoming first season is co-founder, actor, and director James Robinson. Local theater goers may remember James from his role as Dr. Rank in the Theater Conspiracy's production of Henrik Ibsen's play A Doll's House, which we featured on this show back in March. He also directed the Laboratory Theater's powerful productions of Terrence McNally's Mothers and Sons. And he was also in A Raisin in the Sun at the Theater Conspiracy as well. He earned his Bachelor in Fine Arts in Acting from Emerson College and trained at Circle in the Square in New York, as well as the Trinity Rep Conservatory in Providence. He's acted and directed in shows throughout New York, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Florida. He's also the Development Director at De La Salle Academy in Fort Myers, which works to educate children with special needs. And before that, he worked in development at the Clinic for the Rehabilitation of Wildlife, or CROW, on Sanibel Island. James Robinson, thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for having me.
And as always, I invite listeners to join the conversation. Connect with our guests with your comments and questions. Phone lines are open at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And to start off, just tell me a little bit about New Phoenix Theater's origin story, because I'm thinking, you know, we already have Laboratory Theater, Theater Conspiracy, Cultural Park Theater, Ghost Bird Theater, beyond that, the Florida Rep, the Broadway Palm, Naples Players, and I'm sure there's others that I didn't mention just now. With the rich theater offerings we've already got here in Southwest Florida, I'm curious about what the impetus was for starting this whole new one.
I think it really was about a group of like-minded people that came together to create something that's a little bit different. And I think all of the theaters that are down here in Southwest Florida are really working toward the same goal of producing wonderful, artistic, quality theater. I think what makes us a little bit different is that you see many of the theaters down here are led by a singular personality, and we're really working as a collective. There are seven of us on the board, and we started about a year ago forming the basis for the theater itself. And, you know, as a result, probably because we work as a collective, our board meetings are probably longer than some of the other ones.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, some of the decisions we make, particularly for the season, that was the one that took a very long time to actually come to an agreement on for all of us. But I think we're all looking at it. We've all worked at some of the other theaters here and have had some very excellent experiences. But we've come together as a group that is thinking alike, and you know, we've come up with a season. And I think there's a lot of excitement among the group, which spreads out exponentially. So.
Sure. And, you know, I had mentioned just before the show, you know, Sonia McCarter with Theater Conspiracy. She's been on this show a number of times talking about productions, you know, things like A Raisin in the Sun and the August Wilson plays that they have put on. And one of the things that comes up is, you know, sort of this dearth of roles for black actors here locally. Is that part of what New Phoenix is striving to feature more of, more diverse roles, roles for women?
I think absolutely. And if you look at the season, I don't think there's any play that is exclusively one. Certainly, it's not exclusively one race at all.
Mm-hmm.
As far as roles for women, I think that we were actually focused and we had a lot of discussions about roles for older women. And that was very specific to our choosing our season. I think just about every show has some prime roles for older women, which is pretty exciting.
And something I think you see in casting, you know, for theater and other regions is, you know, sort of this move towards, I guess, ethnicity blind mm-hmm. casting. And is that something that sort of came into the decision-making process when you're looking at what plays you want to do, you know, roles that predominantly could be played by anybody?
Yes, I think that, yeah, very much so. And I think that very specifically, I'll be directing two of the shows this upcoming season, The Shadow Box and Quartet. And as far as ethnicity, there are any roles in either one of those shows could be played by anyone, really. I think the only criteria, especially Quartet, is that they be elderly.
Yes.
In some way,
yes.
You know.
Well, and, you know, given your background in acting and directing and your experience in development and fundraising, it seems like you're uniquely qualified to be on the team that's building this new company from the ground up. Can you give us some insights into this whole process, like who the other co-founders are and how long this has been in the works?
Sure. So we started about a year ago, and the other board members are Brenda Kensler, Laurie Ritty, Tom Ritty, Deb Neary, Tony Neary, and Ali Jarbo, and myself. And all of us have varied backgrounds in the theater. And Tom and Laurie have worked at Cultural Park Theater and the Lab Theater. And Tony and Deb have – Deb was the stage manager at the Strauss for a long time. And they both did a lot of time at the Somerset Valley Playhouse in New Jersey. So we're bringing it to the table, you know, and of course Brenda, you saw, she's done Off-Broadway Palm and the Lab as well.
Yeah, so. I just wanted to give a quick shout out to Brenda and just say your performance in Mothers and Sons, like it still sticks with me. That was amazing. go ahead. I'm sorry.
Brenda's amazing on a lot of levels. So we, you know, we. The genesis was that we wanted to approach this very seriously. So, and my background in development and in the theater led me to do a lot of the paperwork at the beginning. So we did get – we're legitimate. We have our 501c3. We have our state charity number. We filed our taxes for last year. So we are – we're very serious in our approach as an organization and looking at the sustainability of the organization and not the careers of any one of the seven board members.
Sure.
So –
well, let's talk about the actual theater space. I understand it's a former gym that's in the process of being renovated to, you know, really transform it into a proper performance space. Tell me about this physical space and I guess what you think it will eventually be able to offer.
Well, right now it's a raw space, and we just recently got all our permitting from the county so that we can really begin the construction. And what it will be is a 96-seat theater with a 40-foot stage with dressing rooms and storage space. We'll also have a little lounge area in the front. I think at this point all we've got now is plumbing for bathrooms. But it's a space that will also feature a lift to the stage for disabled actors. And we I think it was important to all of us to have the space created but still have it be flexible. So there'll be a lot of mobility in the way the whole construct of it will be from show to show. So and that includes the audience as well as the stage.
I want to talk about this mechanical lift because I was reading that in a news press article about you guys a couple months ago. Is that something that you know hasn't really been emphasized too much maybe with other theater companies providing that kind of accessibility?
Yeah, I don't know of any local theater companies that have that as an option. But the and I don't think it's certainly not required, but it's something that I think specifically Brenda was very anxious to have and be part of the space so that our focus on inclusion is not just about gender, ethnicity, sexuality, but it's really complete. So, and I know that certainly in The Shadow Box, for instance, there's a character in a wheelchair. So, you know, it just opens up our options.
Sure. Well, I'm wondering if you can tell me about the fundraising that you've had to do so far, because, I mean, I imagine this renovation is going to be no small feat financially.
Well, no, and we've been very fortunate with a very special donor who's helping us out with that considerably. As far as the actual fundraising process, we haven't done any per se, you know, and I think that part of that is that It's a nice idea for us to create this new theater company in Fort Myers that has real accessibility to Sanibel and Fort Myers Beach and its location, and real accessibility to a diverse group of audience members. But we don't have a product. We haven't put out a product yet, so
kind of hard to fundraise.
Yeah, exactly. And we're holding back a little bit in that. I mean, all of us on the board have put in a little bit of money. Me, probably the littlest because I have the littlest. But we have, you know, we've all put in some, and it's. Yeah, that's definitely something that we will be focusing on because we'll have no choice. Yeah. I mean, our ticket prices will be pretty much the same as everybody else's. So what we're pulling in from show to show will certainly cover the costs of running the space from month to month.
Yeah. But, is it going to be a challenge getting the space ready by October?
Well, hopefully not. I mean, like I said, we got all our permitting last week, and if they start working aggressively, we should be fine for October. If, in fact, there is an issue with starting in October, we'll move Marvin's Room to another date and time. We won't get rid of the show at all because it's really a wonderful show.
Yeah. So, well, actor and director James Robinson is in studio today. He's a co-founder of Southwest Florida's newest community theater company, New Phoenix Theater, which will kick off its inaugural season this fall. Listeners can connect and join the conversation. Phone lines are open at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. And, you know, at least for this this first show opening in October, has casting already taken place? What can you tell listeners about auditions?
Actually, we will audition. Unlike some of the other theaters in town, we'll audition from show to show. We won't do a seasonal audition. But the auditions for Marvin's Room are August 4th. So also, there's specific information on our website for audition dates, as well as the actual dates of the performances for each show. Each show will run 3 weekends, except for La Caja Fall, which will go at least 4, with room built in for potential extension. So,
excellent. Yeah. I mean, that's going to be a popular one.
Let's hope, yes. Yeah.
Well, and as you mentioned, you know, the inaugural season is going to feature 6 different productions, and we're going to get into those shows in just a minute. But first, given the company's mission, can you give us some insight into, you know, how you went about choosing the shows to produce?
Well, like I said, that was probably the longest part of our process over the past year, and it's that we all it was kind of like a poker game. We all threw in shows that we were interested in and ended up, you know, reading tons of scripts and came down to this group based on the interests of the people on the board, particularly in terms of direction and people who would be interested in getting behind the show as a director. So, and this is what we came up with. I think it's a great season. It's very it's very different, and you know, you have stuff that's incredibly commercial and it's stuff that people probably have never heard of. So.
Well, let's go ahead and just talk about this first performance, tentatively in October, Scott McPherson's dark comedy, Marvin's Room. What can you tell us about that show?
Well, actually, it's a beautiful play, and Brenda Kensel will be directing it. I directed a production of it in Massachusetts. It's a beautiful play about a family, really, and a sister who has an illness who's also taking care of two elderly relatives, who brings in kind of a wayward sister to help out with the family, and it's dramatic, but it's also there's some really funny parts to it as well. So it's very real, and it was a movie with Diane Keaton and
yes.
Meryl Streep.
Yes,
so,
I remember fondly.
Yeah.
Well, next we'll have the holiday themed show Inspecting Carol from Daniel Sullivan. What can you tell us about this show?
I think this was actually created by Daniel Sullivan and the company at the Seattle Rep, and they. It's not a well-known show, but the premise is it's a community production of A Christmas Carol where the cast is expecting a representative from the National Endowment for the Arts to come in and assess their work. And a young man comes in who they believe is the representative, and without saying much else, it's a very, very funny show.
Sounds a little like it's got a little Waiting for Guffman in there.
Yeah, oh my God. I love that movie.
So, and 2019 is going to open with productions of Michael Christopher's drama Shadow Box. Like Marvin's Room, serious or terminal illness kind of plays a central theme. But tell us about that show.
That is a really beautiful play. And it takes place in 3 hospice cottages that are located on the grounds of a hospital, and 3 different families who are impacted by the impending death of one of the family members. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful play. And it sounds maudlin, but there's such beauty in the realness of it and the sadness of it that I think that people will absolutely be moved by it.
Mm-hmm. And then next March, New Phoenix Theater is going to be performing the Tony Award-winning best musical hit, La Cage aux Folles. And as we already mentioned, you're looking at adding extra dates for that one because you just know that one's going to be popular. Probably the best-known show that you've picked for this season.
Yeah, for sure. And, it's based on the French movie, which became the American movie, The Birdcage, mm-hmm. and as well as the stage play. And it's got great music that people will absolutely be familiar with. And a bunch of drag queens. I mean, it's going to be
a big cast.
Yes, exactly. And it's very funny. It's very very catchy. It's definitely an intensely engaging show. It'll be a lot of fun.
And then next May, audiences will get to see Ronald Harwood's play Quartet. And here's another show where we see, not quite the terminal illness theme, but characters who are living in a retirement home. Tell us about Quartet, because I imagine this is one that you championed getting into the
first season. Well, I didn't necessarily champion it, bring it to the table. I didn't really know it. I knew the movie. The movie was with Maggie Smith. It's a great, great movie. And then when I read it, the first maybe dozen pages or 15 pages was one of the funniest things I've ever read. And I won't even say why, because it's such a surprise based on what the actual show, where the show ends up journeying to, where these four elderly opera singers are working together and dealing with all these these aging issues in terms of their art and their ability as performers and all of that comes along with this as you get older and older. So it's a charming, charming play that starts off riotously funny. So it should be great.
I'm noticing, I don't know if this is an intentional thing or not, or even if it's really totally true, but I'm seeing a lot of plays with roles, major roles featuring mature actors, older actors. Is that something that we maybe don't see enough of in Southwest Florida?
Well, I think that some people, some of the theaters, their focus is slightly different from that. And I think it was intentional for sure. And if you look at our board, there's no spring chickens on it. So, I think the youngest, Ali's the youngest, and he's 47, I think. So, part of it was, it's coming from where we're all coming from as far as the group. So there was intention in that. And I think that it's something that you want to see anyway, I mean, we get to see down here because there's so much theater, so many aspects of life. So to put this – and it's not like a dominant emphasis per se, but it's definitely something that we have in our minds as we're choosing things.
Yeah, and it's no secret Southwest Florida has a pretty sizable elder population here. So, why not utilize that and the acting talent we have?
And the appeal to – and as far as audience as well. I mean, it's stuff that they'll – that's relative to them, so – it will be – hopefully it will fill our houses.
Yes. And you're looking to close out the inaugural season with the farcical, hilarious show. Then this is going to be Neil Simon's Rumours. Tell us about this play.
I'm embarrassed to say, is the one I know the least about, which is kind of absurd. But as far as I would say at least three, maybe four – or five members of the board have some history with the play, with Rumours. And so it was brought in to close the season. And I'm actually excited to learn more about it. I have to say I come up short on that one.
That's all right. Yeah, I was reading a bit about it. I don't know if this is entirely accurate, but it seems like it's the closest thing we've got to like that murder mystery kind of genre.
Yes. Exactly. I get that. That's what I've heard as well.
Okay. And thinking long term, do you and other founding members of New Phoenix plan on maintaining the organization strictly for performances, or eventually do you think you could expand the mission to include things like, acting or directing workshops, summer theater programs? And I'm also just thinking about like your work with the De La Salle Academy, mm-hmm. and whether you've thought about sort of blending those two things, labor of love and then your day job.
Well, interestingly enough, Deb Neary, who's on the board of New Phoenix, also oversees the drama club at De La Salle, and I work closely with her on that. We've spoken, because we've got this space now. We've got this company or this organization, and we're just starting in terms of producing. We've had many, many conversations about the space itself and about letting it, bringing other people in for poetry slams or concerts. So the space will be available when it's not in use for New Phoenix for other groups.
Yeah, that makes sense because you spend so much time preparing for a show and you could totally be utilizing the space to feature other types of performances.
Absolutely. And we'll have, you know, with going into the space, we'll have, you know, state-of-the-art, I guess, lighting and sound. And so it will be a place that I think people will be happy to come into and work. So we've talked about a lot of things like children's theater. I know that Deb and Tony did a lot of children's theater in, and Tom, actually, all of them in New Jersey at a theater. I did every Saturday for a year at the 13th Street Playhouse in New York. I did a play called The Rose That Refused to Bloom. So we have that experience, and we want to utilize the space in that way, probably on the weekends. But it's going to take – we want to get this first season down.
Oh, sure.
Like, you know,
sure.
What? Yeah. We're pretty good. So now we'll bring in other aspects. They've just about everything you can imagine has come up at these board meetings, and we will incorporate stuff as, you know, in a way that's well thought out so that it's as – impactful as it can possibly be.
Mm-hmm. And I you know, I kind of wanted to close out by just sort of talking to you personally here. After being involved in acting and directing, you know, so prolifically throughout the New England area, I'm curious about what brought you to Southwest Florida and what your initial impressions of our local theater scene was here. Because, I mean, if you're like me, I didn't come here expecting there to be such a vibrant performing arts community.
Yeah, it was really impressive. And what brought me down here, part of what brought me down is my mother lives in North Fort Myers and she's getting older. And my brothers and sisters are all in Massachusetts. So
sure, you want to be close?
Well, yeah. I had the opportunity and I didn't have any a real anchor keeping me up north. So about 8 years ago, we ended up down here. And before getting involved actively in the theater, we saw a lot of theater. And it was always very, you know, it's so exciting to go see a show at Florida Rep. It's so much fun to go see a show at Broadway Palm. And then, of course, the smaller theaters have so much to offer. And we've gone everywhere from, you know, Fort Myers to Naples to see these theaters. And it's very, very impressive. And I think one of the funny things is that when we first moved down here and went to the Florida Rep, Carrie Lund and I did a production of Oklahoma in 1979 in Vermont that toured for a few weeks in the summer, toured four towns in the state, which was really funny. So,
and now you end up here and, a small world after
it really, oh my God, I wouldn't want to have to paint it though, but yes.
Well, that is about all the time we have for this portion of the show. We've been speaking with actor and director James Robinson. He's a co-founder of Southwest Florida's newest community theater company, New Phoenix Theater, which will debut its inaugural season this fall. And you can learn more about New Phoenix, check out their upcoming shows for the 2018-2019 season, and even purchase tickets online at newphoenixtheaterfortmyers.org. James Robinson, thanks so much for being here. Can't wait for the season to begin.
Thank you. I can't wait for you to come see our shows.
We're taking a short break, but when we return, we'll hear an encore presentation of our conversation featuring live music with Southwest Florida rock and blues musician Kate Scales. She's currently touring outside of Florida, but she'll be back performing at local venues next month. That's just ahead. Stay with us. I'm John Davis, and you're listening to Gulf Coast Live from WGCU.